Welcome to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you live by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Cryptopreneurs Radio is a community of entrepreneurs who strive to affect change and increase the public acceptance of cryptocurrency. We are the miners, entrepreneurs, and innovators getting involved in the evolution of digital currencies. Now, here's your host, Tony Gambone and Linda Ballesteros.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here with my co-host, Linda Ballesteros. We're coming to you live out of Houston, Texas. And, of course, Cryptopreneurs Radio is an incredible show that we've had the opportunity to be a part of. I guess now I believe we've been doing it for about maybe 6 weeks, Linda. Is that correct, or longer?
Yeah, I think it's going on 2 months now, Tony. We've had some great guests. And guys, if you haven't heard the guests, you know, be sure to visit our Facebook page where you have links of all of our guests that you can listen to the archived shows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had some well-known people in cryptocurrency on the show. You know, one of our friends, Tom McCurran, and Andreas Annopoulos, and today we have the pleasure of having someone that works with Andreas, and she's going to come on and talk to us about blockchain technology and how it can reduce risk in your business. And well, you know, the whole blockchain thing is such a question that people say, "What is that?" And you know, I know myself sometimes I don't always think I explain it properly. So I'm glad to know that we're going to have someone on today. It could help improve our knowledge on that and our understanding, you know, the basics of it. So, you know, Lynn, usually we do a whole big monologue about different things on the show. And what I want to do is not waste too much time, because I want to bring Pamela up on the show. I know that you have at least 60 questions and two of mine, so it's going to take a lot of our time today. So I just want to, before we do that, give everybody some information. You can call into the show, 347-989-1363. And another thing, folks, I apologize for my voice, but I think I have sinuses, but my wife says I talk too much. Anyway, you can call into the show, 347-989-1363. Also, you can find us on Facebook under Cryptopreneurs. On Facebook, we're under Linda Ballesteros, Tony Gambone, or Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're interested in finding out about the shows on the Tough Talk Radio Network, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and check us out. Register to be a guest. If you're someone in the cryptopreneur world, if you're someone that's in the cryptocurrency, hey, reach out to us. You can catch us at info@toughtalkradionetwork. We'd love to talk to you about being a guest on our show. Okay, so, Vince, we think, got anything to add to that before we take a short break and come back with our guests?
That sounds like a plan, Tony.
All right, so let's do that, and we'll be right back after a very, very short break from our friends at Texas Authors.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone. You're here on Cryptopreneur Radio with my co-host Linda Ballesteros and our special guest, Pamela Morgan. Pamela is an attorney, an educator, an entrepreneur, and a public speaker. She has spent much of her career working in and advising small businesses. Now, for those of you out there that follow the shows here on Tough Talk, a lot of us are entrepreneurs. So this is going to be an opportunity for you to gain so much knowledge in an area that you're not aware of. So without wasting any time, I want to bring up Pamela and welcome her to the show. Welcome, Pamela.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Awesome. So You know, Linda, I promise that I will let you go first. I'm going to step back out of the way and let you two ladies chit-chat.
Well, I appreciate that, Tony, but I also know that you're going to want your own time. So be prepared, Pamela, because I know he's going to pop back in here with some of his questions. But again,
I'm ready.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for being on the show today, because I tell you what, every day I have someone who's not heard of cryptocurrency, not even heard of Bitcoin. They come up with the basic questions, and sometimes I don't necessarily know how to answer those. And, you know, we'll get into some of those questions, but I'd like to first know, how, as an attorney, how did you get into this industry? What drew you to this? It's such a cutting-edge industry. Why did you see that this is something that you wanted to become an expert at?
What a great question. I think you could ask this question of anyone who is interested in this space, and you'll get a really, really interesting answer. For me, I became aware of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies when I was speaking at a conference in Athens, Greece, in late 2013. And that conference was all about disruption. It was called Disrupt, Startup, Scale Up. And at that time, mm-hmm. I was working for a company educating entrepreneurship professors and economic development professionals all around the world how to implement an entrepreneurial mindset in their organizations, in their students, basically in their own lives. So I was talking about entrepreneurship and interested and teaching people about it. And at this conference, Andreas Antonopoulos was there speaking about Bitcoin. If you haven't seen that show, it's on YouTube. You should take a look at it. It's 20 minutes of absolute inspiration. And after I heard that talk, I knew that Bitcoin was going to change the world, and I knew that I wanted to be a part of it.
And you're right. Andreas does a fabulous job at talking about how digital currency, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, whatever you name you want to place on it, can change the world. And those of us that see that piece of it, it's important for me to have a mission behind what I do, and to know that it can impact others in the world that I wouldn't normally be able to reach is certainly inspiring to me. So one of the questions, like I mentioned earlier, I have people ask me some of the basic questions, and I'd like to get those, you know, just on the table right away this morning. So the first thing is it legal, Pamela?
Well, I have to give the standard lawyer caveat and say that although I am an attorney, nothing that I say should be construed as legal advice. However, in most jurisdictions, there is not a question as to whether or not Bitcoin is legal or cryptocurrencies are legal. There are some uses of cryptocurrencies that may be in a gray area or may be not legal in some jurisdictions. But in the United States, it is perfectly legal for you to own Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. And since you brought that up, one of the next questions that I get is, yeah, but isn't it used by those guys that do the money laundering, you know, illegal money laundering? So how do you get past that? Because it's certainly not everybody else. You know, we're not all drug dealers that have cryptocurrency or Bitcoin. So, you know, how do we address that? And are there things being put in place now that will help to minimize that? I'm not going to say eliminate it, because, you know, if you've got a $20 bill, you can get drugs with it. So it doesn't have to be cryptocurrency to be, you know, drug money. So what are we doing about that?
Sure. Well, I think you brought up a really great point, and that is that when we have this discussion about money laundering, and you know, using cryptocurrencies for illicit purposes, we're missing the bigger picture. And the real picture is that U.S. dollars are the number one instrument of funding these sorts of things. So while in the media we hear things like, oh, Bitcoin is being used to, you know, do X, Y, and Z, we're not seeing those same stories talking about how other currencies are being used in the exact same way. The issue, I think, the issue is really not preventing by way of currency, but preventing by way of stopping the ultimate things that are happening. I'm not wording that right, but what I'm trying to say is that I think the focus should be on preventing the crime itself and not necessarily the funding of the crime. We've made that a crime because it's easier to prosecute. But at its core, having money or using money isn't in itself a crime. So I think we often conflate those ideas with a lot of help from other people. No one in cryptocurrency, at least no one I know, wants to promote those sorts of uses. What we're interested in is promoting uses where we can actually control our own money, where we can actually decide where our money is going to go and how it's going to be used.
And you know, I another question I have, and that is a great explanation for that, because that's exactly how I feel. It's just sometimes it's difficult to get that thought across, because I think we've gotten so used to on the news at night to see the bundles of money along with the cocaine that we don't even think about, oh, that's U.S. dollars that's being used as drug money. So we kind of, you know, it just becomes something we see all the time. And then when we see an article that says Bitcoin was used in some money laundering, then all of everybody's senses go up simply because it's a new industry. But when there is a new industry like this, Pamela, do you think there does have to be some type of regulation to regulatory systems set up to help support the consumer? Because otherwise, it's sort of like a Wild West out there, isn't it?
One of the things, yeah, I mean, I get this question a lot. One of the things that is so cool about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in particular is that you can actually program consumer protection into the protocol. So one of the things that I use extensively in my practice is a feature of Bitcoin called multi-signature. And it's exactly what it sounds like. What that means is that instead of having a single person sign to spend money, you need more than one. This is extremely useful in situations, for example, with buyers and sellers, where you can have a multi-signature address that has a buyer as a signer, a seller as a signer, and an escrow agent or a dispute resolution person as a third signer. What you can do with that is then require two of the three signers in order to release any funds. This changes.
Well, you know, Pamela, that's really not different. I was in banking for 30-something years and, you know, worked with corporations. And many times they would have their accounts set up where anything over $1,000 required two signatures. So that's really not any different. So, folks, what I want you to start seeing is that there is some foundation being placed here within the cryptocurrency industry that may seem somewhat familiar to you. And I think that is where you're going to find some comfort. Where we put up the red flags is when we see things that doesn't look familiar and we don't understand it. So,
and I think that's a great point, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great point. I just want to jump in and say the difference between these technologies and corporate banking is that these technologies allow those corporate banking features to come in to change everyday people's world. Instead of requiring a large corporate account and a relationship with large banking institutions, everyday people can do this for everyday amounts. And I think that's a really, really interesting aspect of cryptocurrencies, is that it's bringing those things that were previously reserved to only those who had money or influence or wealth to everyday people.
And of course, that's something that the average consumer has not ever had in the ability to do. So
exactly.
That it is sort of like removing some of the fences or the boundaries around you, but to be able to still play in that space and expand in that, and to see what other things could take place as well. I know that
I look
you,
at it. I just want to jump in really quickly. Sorry.
Sure.
I look at it as an extra bonus for everyday people.
Mm.
So beforehand, before cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, if I wanted to buy something, for example, on Craigslist, I had to either meet someone in person and bring cash, or try and do some sort of PayPal. And if it went wrong, If something didn't go as I expected, then I either had to take the loss or I had to try to go to court. And we know that that's expensive and time-consuming, et cetera. With Bitcoin, I can actually do that same transaction. But I can structure it so that a third person is involved, so that if something goes badly, we can deal with it right now. And I don't have to go to court and spend that money. Instead, we have a dispute resolution process built in to the system.
So, Pamela, when you talk about this third person, are there mediation companies? Who is that third person?
That's an interesting question, because that's a part of the ecosystem that's developing right now. So people that have expertise in mediation are now starting to get involved in this sort of area. But you don't have to choose someone who is an official mediator. You could use anyone if the three of us decided that we wanted to have a multi-signature address. Any one of us could be the dispute resolution person. There are no set criteria as of today as to who is eligible to serve. It's whomever the parties choose.
You're bringing up some really great points, that there is an evolution, there are changes being made to this cutting edge industry, and it's all it sounds to me like a lot of it is to protect the consumer, so that the consumer will feel more comfortable in using digital currency. Do you see that that's going to continue, and what direction do you see that going?
Absolutely. It's one of my passions. It's something that I speak about frequently. And it's something that I think is unique in cryptocurrency. We can program in consumer protection. So instead of having promises and promises that have to be enforced by a court, we can create programs, computer programs, using cryptocurrency that will enforce our promises.
So do you also see, Pamela, that along with us as the consumer building in these protections within our own attached to a specific transaction, do you see that there will also be legislation, and there will be other types of guidelines that will be set in place for all cryptocurrency companies?
I think that talking about cryptocurrencies in this way is so broad that it might be helpful to narrow it down a little bit, because we can use cryptocurrencies in lots of different ways. So if we're talking about companies or cryptocurrencies that are issued by a party, that are controlled by a party, that looks a lot like a national currency, and it smells a lot like a national currency, and it will operate a lot like a national currency, and therefore it will be regulated in the same way that national currencies are regulated. If, however, there's a currency like Bitcoin that is decentralized, that is not issued by a specific party, that is not controlled by a specific party, then that is very different than other sorts of currencies. And therefore, there are completely different regulations that will make sense for something like that. Remember, at its core, regulations are simply rules that we've decided to live by in order to make our society the kind of place that we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at regulation, we need to consider what the purpose of regulation is. So to answer your question, yes, I think that some regulations already apply to things like cryptocurrencies. Some don't. And it depends on the use of the cryptocurrency. For example, people are talking about using cryptocurrencies for stock issuance. And we know that the SEC in the United States controls stock issuance. So if you were using a cryptocurrency to represent a share of stock, you would need to conform with the regulations relating to stock. Does that make sense?
Now, absolutely, it does. Because what we've done is, since the launch of the show, we have spotlighted different areas of cryptocurrency, blockchain, and just trying to educate those our listeners out there. And are there? So to help our listeners, are there specific companies out there? Maybe. Digital companies, we talked about Bitcoin, and we all know that there are a lot of digital currencies out there. What are some of the other ones that you have seen and how those are applying to what you're talking about today?
Sure. So we in the industry often call these altcoins, which are alternatives to Bitcoin. So if your listeners hear the term altcoin, that's basically what we're talking about. The most prominent altcoin currently is called Ethereum. And Ethereum, to give your listeners some context, Bitcoin currently has about a $6 billion valuation. Ethereum just broke $1 billion. Ethereum is different than Bitcoin in that it is designed to be a smart contract platform. And the Ether, which is the coin that powers this smart contract protocol. So you could purchase Ether, and Ether would be the equivalent of Bitcoin in that system.
But it sounds to me like each coin kind of has its own profile, so to speak, you know, whether it's the profile of the person that is attracted to it and, you know, maybe wants to participate in it, or whether it's the profile of the purpose of the coin. They all seem to be very different.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think a very important distinction is considering how the coin is developed and how it's issued. also who controls it. So, for example, with Ethereum or Bitcoin or something like that, you have an open source protocol. That means that the computer code is public.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can go and look at it, and anyone can run it. This also means that the issuance is transparent. Meaning that the decisions for how the coins are issued don't happen in a back room. They don't happen in a closed space, but they happen in public. And the blockchain that secures these transactions or these coins is also public. And because those things are public, that is what allows you to have decentralized, peer-to-peer, secure coins and networks.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that away, if you start to close the system, then those systems look much more like a traditional database. It looks much more like a company offering a product.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's a product that happens to be a coin.
And it's not necessarily that one is better than the other. It's just those are two different profiles of two different digital currencies.
I would caution the listeners against comparing them as apples to apples. They're
right.
Very different. And if someone controls and issues a coin, then that is like purchasing part of that company, for lack of a better way to explain it. That is not the same thing as participating in an open, peer-to-peer, decentralized network.
Right.
So this might sound confusing, and it is when you first get started. But one way to distinguish this is to look at something like Shapeshift, for example. Shapeshift is a tool that allows you to convert Bitcoin to other cryptocurrencies. So if you want to know about other cryptocurrencies, you can go to Shapeshift and look at the other things that are listed there and use that as a tool to start your investigation.
Oh, that's a great bit of advice, because it allows the listeners to kind of look at multiple options out there and see if it's a good fit for them.
Exactly.
Pamela, I know that Tony is just tapping his foot, ready to jump in. So let's see if Tony has any questions back there. Hey, Tony.
Yes, great information. And, you know, I'm so jealous of you, Linda, that you worked in banking for so long. You understand so much more than the average person that is listening to this. So coming from a different side of it, Pamela, there's, from my understanding, I don't know, 500-600 different people out there creating coins, and I have all kinds of questions on social media about what are the banks going to do? Are they going to create cryptocurrency? You know, what about all these other companies? Is it just Bitcoin? I'm just reading these off. Is it just Bitcoin's the only coin, or can you feel some of that?
Sure. So the reason that we go to Bitcoin, the reason that we reference Bitcoin, is because Bitcoin is the first. It's the one that's been proven in the marketplace. And in our industry, 7 years is a long time. Six, seven years is a long time for cryptocurrencies that are decentralized. So that's why we reference Bitcoin, because it's the longest running successful experiment. This industry is so new. People are experimenting with everything they can. They're becoming inspired by cryptocurrencies, and they're saying, okay, what do I have in my life? What do I know? And how can I apply what I know to this new industry? How can I get involved? So that's why you're seeing so many different coins. And I think we're going to continue to see many different coins because the cost of creating a coin is very low. And it's getting easier to do that.
So what about the banks? Do you think banks are going to just sit on the side and just want to deal with paper money, or are they going to convert to cryptocurrency of some sort?
Oh, banks are already involved. There's an organization called R3 that is a consortium. Last time I looked, 40-something major banks. They're creating what they call a permissioned ledger. What this means to everyday people is that you can't play on their ledger. Only they can play on their ledger. And so they will. They are creating their own quote unquote cryptocurrency, but they're using it for settlement amongst the banks. So it's a closed system.
Okay, so I'm going to read you a question from a gentleman named Lee in the Sugar Land, Texas area. He says that that Bitcoin has been around for a while. Banks are going to be coming into it. Other people are creating coins. How is this going to be regulated in the future? Do you know that answer, Pam?
No one knows that answer. If I did, I'd be writing a best-selling book. The reality is that governments and organizations are looking at cryptocurrencies through the lens of their nationalistic interests. What's interesting about cryptocurrency is that it transcends borders. It does not recognize nationalistic tendencies. And so governments and organizations are going to need to adapt to that. And I think we're going to see a lot of different governments and different organizations test different ways to adapt to it. Some will be good. Some will be bad. And your perspective will depend on how you're looking at it, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so
exactly
I can't answer what sort of regulations we will see. I can say that I think it's perfectly reasonable to regulate entities that act like a bank. That hold people's money like a bank. In other words, if they are acting like a bank and they are taking control of people's money, then they should be regulated like a bank because we regulate banks in order to protect people.
Right. Okay. So one last question that I have is, I'm pretty excited about this. Unfortunately, I'm not in a situation where I can go in and buy Bitcoin. Just because of the cost of it. So it's kind of become the rich man's coin, so to speak. But with all these other organizations coming up with a coin, I mean, I heard even Jay-Z is Jay-Z coin. Maybe it's a
few. Yeah.
The thing of it is, as we watch the different things happen in my lifetime of 60 years, I've seen a lot of things change. But one of the things I recognize is every time a change comes, people are improving it. And with Bitcoin being out 7 years and have used up a portion of their blockchain, what happens when they run out of space? Can they create another coin? Can they leap off of that under the same umbrella? Can they buy another blockchain?
Are you referring to the 21 million cap in Bitcoin?
Yes, ma'am. That is one of the questions. I'm sorry, I didn't specifically say that. That's one of the questions. The other question was about how other organizations have come out with the coin learning from Bitcoin. Do you feel as though they're going to keep improving the process and one day Bitcoin won't be the leader anymore?
Oh, I have no idea. I hope that the process continues to improve. Bitcoin is continuing to improve. And that's the whole point of the space, is to build and grow and make something that serves people better. Bitcoin came about because the current system wasn't serving people. And I fully expect that other systems will develop to serve individual people's needs. That makes sense to me. As far as the 21 million Bitcoin cap, there are a lot of ideas on this. One of the things that's happening in the space is something called side chains. And what this means, I'll try to make it as clear as possible, but what it means is you have some Bitcoin and you lock it up. And that value allows you to participate in a sidechain using a different coin. It's like an insurance policy. It's like saying, hey, I want to use this money to participate in another system. So that will necessarily allow Bitcoin to expand. A lot of people say that Bitcoin will end up being the reserve currency, meaning that large organizations will use Bitcoin and everyday people might not. They might use other coins. I think another interesting aspect of it is that people are using coins for more than just currency. If you haven't spoken yet to Tatiana Moroz, you might want to. She is an artist. She's a musician. And she created something called...
Yeah, we've had Tatiana on the show.
You did. Excellent. Good. So your listeners know that coins are being used not only for currency, but also for other uses, like connecting with fans.
Right. And so... one of the things, Pamela, that Linda and I always try to do, and we've been doing radio off and on together for 7 years, and it's all about education so people can make an educated decision moving forward. One of the things in today's world is the Internet makes things so fast, easy, quick, and sometimes our emotions get ahead of us, and we make decisions that, well, weren't the best. So we try to bring in every type of person that, you know, and being that Bitcoin broke the ground, is the leader in this industry, you know, that brings us to a lot of people with Bitcoin. And, you know, so far, it seems as though Bitcoin has figured it out. I don't know who is the next upcoming currency coming along, who's going to be the competitor, but I know when the car industry started, one company came out and then another one, then they all started to compete together, and I believe that all tides, high tides will raise all boats. I think it's all going to work out eventually, maybe not in my life, but I know in my children's or my grandchildren's lifetime, they won't even know what a dollar bill is. Like, my kids don't know what an 8-track tape is. So,
right.
So looking at it that way, if you were not to be held accountable for the answer that you give, and I know you're a lawyer, so this is hard for you to answer, what do you see taking place?
In the future,
I know you're not at the circus, but I mean, in the cryptocurrency world, you're obviously educated. In the blockchain thing, we've heard it's going to be used for title search, for all different types of companies. It's going to take jobs away from people and provide jobs for other people. It's going to save costs from this and do that there. But at the end of the day, if you're investing in cryptocurrency, what do you think the purpose, the most intelligent decision you can make, why you would or wouldn't do it?
I think currently cryptocurrency is an incredibly volatile investment. I have some of my investments in it, certainly not all. I think that we are in such early days, and as you brought up just a minute ago, Tony, we don't know who's going to come out, quote unquote, on top. And I think that position is going to ebb and flow. So I think the best thing that people can do is educate themselves about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Ethereum, other sorts of uses, and see what really resonates with them. Like, if they are interested in real estate, maybe you should start looking at something like Factum or something like the International Business Real Estate Association. If you're interested in music, maybe you want to look at something like Tatiana Coin or even Jay-Z's Coin. I think that it really goes back to what you believe in and what you want to support. I think to try to pick a winner or a loser today is a difficult game. I want to go back to one thing you said about Bitcoin and having it be expensive. You can actually earn Bitcoin, and I get paid in Bitcoin. I also accept other cryptocurrencies for payment. So for those people who are thinking, you know, yeah, I can't afford Bitcoin, you know, maybe I don't have that amount of money to invest or to risk. There are other options. You can use a company called Bitwage, which will allow you to get part of your earnings in Bitcoin without even having your employer sign up. You can also do things like get tipped in cryptocurrencies. So companies like ChangeTip or ProTip HQ will allow you to tip people in Bitcoin if they say something interesting or something that you like. So there are other ways aside from just purchasing cryptocurrency. You could also mine it, although Bitcoin mining is pretty expensive now. Many of the other altcoins can be mined with a simple laptop.
So, Pamela, you know, you were talking about how you don't have all of your investment in Bitcoin, but you have a certain portion of it. I know that a lot of people are looking at digital currency as a way to diversify their portfolio. So let's talk about that just a little bit. How does that play into the estate planning? Because we really don't – I don't even know is digital currency a currency? Is it a commodity? So can you help me out with that one?
I would love to. I'm actually just finishing up an article on this exact issue. As an attorney, I look for places in the industry where other people aren't stepping up, and this is one of them. So because this industry is so new, we don't really know how cryptocurrencies are going to play out in the estate planning area. As your listeners may or may not know, in the United States, the estate is governed by state law. So whatever state you live in, those are the laws that apply. Now, we know with cryptocurrencies, control of your private keys, control of your cryptocurrency is the same thing as complete ownership. Usually, we keep our private keys private, right? We don't share our wallet information, because if we do, people are going to steal our Bitcoin or our cryptocurrency. Now, that is great planning for every day. However, if something happens to you, how will your family actually be able to access your cryptocurrency? Most people would like for their family to be able to inherit their cryptocurrency, but most people are struggling with just understanding cryptocurrencies themselves. Let alone trying to educate their family members on what to do if something happens to them. So one of the things that you can do is talk to your lawyer, if you have one, and tell them that you have cryptocurrencies. They will then help you walk through an estate plan that will include ways to make sure that your digital assets pass on to the people that you want them to. Unlike a bank, though, this is not something that a court can then compel someone to do. So in a typical situation, if you had money in a bank, but you didn't say who you wanted that money to go to, that money would go to the court, and the court would distribute it to the heir. With Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, there's typically no third party to go to. So you have a problem that if you don't plan, it's highly likely that your cryptocurrencies won't actually pass on to your heirs. So that's why this is such an important issue. I'm really glad you brought it up because it's something that we usually don't think about.
Right, right. Now, you know, Pamela, while we're talking about this, it sounds like you're writing articles, you're working with people. If somebody's listening right now and they want to reach out to you, whether it's to maybe speak to one of their groups or maybe participate in something that, you know, a conference or something, or maybe just they have personal needs, how would they get in touch with you, and who is it that can most benefit from your service and your knowledge?
Well, they can get in touch with me by visiting either empoweredlaw.com, which is my law firm, empowered law.com, or they can visit Third Key Solutions, which is another company that focuses on key consulting, helping people that have high-value assets
secure them,
helping companies and startups in the digital currency space create corporate governance plans and disaster recovery plans. And sometimes we hold a third key if we need to. They can also reach me on Twitter. I'm at Pamela JD.
PamelaWJD.
And I am happy to talk with people and help direct them, even if I can't help them myself. I have a lot of resources, and I'm happy to direct them to other people who can.
Well, Tony, is there anything else that you want to ask Pamela? Because, you know, my pages are filled with notes right now, and I think I've got writer's cramp. So I'm going to, Tony, I'll let you see if you have any more questions for Pamela, because you've just been a wealth of knowledge for us today.
Yeah, I'm really glad these are archived right after they're over, so I can go back and listen to them. I can't write that fast. So the thing of it is, Pamela, one of the things I heard you say is that you write articles and different things like that. We would love to be able to market what you write. And you know, if you are sharing that with others and you want us to share it with our listening base, please send it to us and put it up on our social media pages as well. We're always trying to find information that's going to help others make better decisions. And, you know, I agree. Great information, and thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And that's my goal as well, is to help people understand this space, help them get excited about it, and help them see how they can participate. So I will definitely be sharing articles, and thank you so much for having me today.
Well, it's been our pleasure. We're going to take a short break and make sure that we let our sponsors get a word in here. We're going to come back and wrap up the show. And make sure to find out more about Pamela by going to thirdkey.solutions. I've got that right there. And our other empoweredlaw.com. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location. Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Okay, welcome back to Cryptopreneurs Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, here with my co-host Linda Ballesteros. Just finished up an incredible interview with Pamela Morgan, and I believe Pamela is out of the Chicago area. Learn more about her by going to her website and connecting with her at thirdkey.solutions or empoweredlaw.com. Lynn, what did you think? That's a lot of stuff to take in at one time, huh?
Well, it is, Tony, but it definitely answered questions that our listeners have been sending us. So I felt that having an attorney, having Pamela Morgan on, was able to give our listeners what they're asking for. And it answered a lot of questions for me as well. So, you know, folks, if you're listening and you still have questions, then be sure to send them in to us because we are looking for those experts that can answer those questions. So if you don't hear the answer to just a burning question you have about cryptocurrency, let us know, and we'll find the person that has that information. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can reach out to Pamela in the future to bring her back on and give us updates. So maybe she could be a regular for us and just keep us constantly posted as to how the wind's blowing in the crypto industry.
Yeah, and you know, Lynn, I got the Twitter account because someone just asked me for it. They have to reach out to her on Twitter. It's @PamelaWJD. So, @PamelaWJD. You know, it's really phenomenal how we just keep coming up with guests that just keep bringing it. And it's just incredible, the power of the internet. So easy to reach out to people. And people are so willing to share. Most of us just don't take the time to reach out. I mean, you've been finding these guests for the show. And how did you find Pamela?
I actually found Pamela on Twitter because that's one of the platforms that I use to research and to actually mine for guests, not mining for coins, but I mine for guests that way. And again, Pamela is like so many other guests that we've had, and they want to educate. We had a guest several weeks ago, Tony, and what he talked about, and that was Joe Sicola, where he's the compliance officer and works with creating, getting people more knowledgeable about setting up ATM machines and make sure they're in compliance. But one of the things that he says is the biggest hurdle that we are having right now with this industry is education, or the lack of education. So that's what we're doing, folks, is we're bringing these experts in, and we really hope that you come to our shows with pen and paper in hand because there's a lot of great information out there, and we want to try to get it to you.
Mm. Yes. So what would be your solution or your suggestion to people today moving forward, hearing what they heard?
I mean, I know we want them to connect with Pamela because there's so much we didn't cover. She helps a lot of businesses do a lot of different things. And it sounded like to me the estate planning thing was a huge opportunity for people in the crypto world to start paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just like she said, that's not something that everybody thinks about as we all dabble, some of us dabble a bit in that cryptocurrency space as to diversify our portfolio. We don't think about adding that to the estate planning, but it's a different animal, so to speak. So it's not like something that you can hand over the account number and password and, you know, let somebody go down to the bank and get your money. So that resides someplace else, and it's usually on an e-wallet. But those are different steps that have to be taken if you have digital currency out there. So, folks, that's just one more thing for us to think about, but it Pamela definitely brought up a good point there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. We never think about what if we're not here. You know, so if people have a will or a journal or something, I mean, if you're doing, I mean, it's got to be written down somewhere, right? So I think it's best to get with a lawyer, and I'm sure Pamela could help them with that, or, you know, maybe they're asked their own lawyer. Maybe Pamela could help educate the lawyers they deal with as well. So we're running out of time, Lynn. So, Any thoughts you want to leave for the listeners for next week?
Well, I don't know that we have a guest lined up for next week, but you just never know. So y'all be sure to listen in, and maybe we'll just do a recap of some of the shows that we've had and what we've learned. And I love to be able to do that, Tony, because there are times when a full show is too much, and we by taking the bits and pieces, the meat of the shows, we can kind of do a summary, so to speak, or maybe the best of the Cryptopreneur Radio Show.
Yeah, I think it's always good every 2-3 weeks to recap what we've learned. It allows us, you know, it's being selfish because it allows us to process it and understand it and develop more questions and know who we're going to go out and search for to answer those questions, and that's just the power of using the Internet in a lot of different ways. So, well, I just want to wrap it up here and make sure that everybody knows that if you missed the show, you tuned in late, okay, you can always find out more information by going to, cryptopreneursradio.com, any of our Facebook pages, Cryptopreneurs Facebook page, or Tony Gambone, or Linda Ballesteros, or Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find us if you're looking for us, okay? So check us out. Listen to the replay. Share it with your friends. Join us next week. And if you're out there and you are an expert in this industry like Pamela, make sure to reach out to me or Linda here on the show through info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. We'd love to talk to you and see if you're a fit for the show. That's all I got for today, Lynn.
Me too. Hope to see you guys next week on Cryptopreneurs Radio Show.
All right. Everybody has a great week.
You've been listening to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information about this show, please visit cryptopreneursradio.com.